This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 345. We're up to the sequel of Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, from 2002. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, introduce our intern.
Yes, our intern is here. He's back. We were supposed to have a different guest. However, scheduling conflicts happened and we had the perfect backup. He's also been here before. And as a matter of fact, you just heard him on the last two episodes before this. Scott is back. Scott, I always like to say intros will get shorter and shorter the more times you appear. So just go ahead and tell them where you can find you, and then we're moving on.
No, you can find me on Instagram at jujokers_movies. I do some hauls, do a little bit of movie reviews. I don't do YouTube. I'm a little intern exclusive to the AMG podcast. Thank you very much.
There he is. He's back.
Yeah, so all right, so here we go. We're going to go to some financials of Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. Now, let me tell you guys, New Line Cinema hit the gold mine with this damn thing. Oh my God. Oh my Lord. Here we go. Financially, this movie was budgeted at $94 million again. But then again, we got to remember the movies were filmed back to back to back. So they all had the same budget. So I guess Return of the King might be slightly above, but I think it's 94 also. So doesn't even matter because this movie came in at a worldwide total of $948 million for Lord of the Rings at that time. All right, Nate. What do you think?
Yeah, they probably had a shared budget of like 300 or 350 million for all three, but each one made like close to a billion or over a billion. I think the last one probably made over a billion. These two combined, the first two combined made like 1.8 billion. I think that's pretty good, and I'm not surprised.
Scott?
Yeah, I'm not surprised either. I mean, this is Lord of the Rings. This was huge back then, and Warner Brothers is always fiending to find something like Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings because it's a moneymaker. But yeah, so.
What I do think is crazy that you said, Alex, and I mean, everyone knows it, but that the fact that they let New Line release it, which is like a New Line. So New Line is for Warner Brothers. Like, I don't even know if New Line still does anything. I love New Line. They have a bunch of good movies, but
is it like Columbia Pictures to Sony?
Yes. Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. Except Columbia got bought by Sony. So this would be more like Fox Searchlight to Fox or Focus Features to Universal. How like they just do, but this was like genre movies. So they did horror, Nightmare on Elm Street is New Line. The Ninja Turtles movies are New Line.
Texas Chainsaw.
Blade. And then they put this, which it's fantasy. So they were probably like, you know what? We'll distribute it under New Line. They didn't think it was prestigious enough. And then it gets nominated for a million Oscars. It makes $3 billion. And now Warner Bros. Likes to put their little logo on it, even though this was New Line. So I think that is interesting that they didn't just release it under the Warner Brothers banner.
Well, it's very interesting. I looked ahead at the financials for Return of the King.
It's over a billion.
I will say is the budget is still $94 million.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He made all three of these for less than $300 million.
Yes. And you know what's crazy? We're telling you the first two films, and they look fantastic. For $94 million, the production alone looked amazing, from their wardrobes to when they filmed in New Zealand looked amazing. So that's crazy. But I'm not going to reveal the worldwide total until the next episode. I'm two episodes ahead. But okay, Nate, critics and audience, what did they have to say about this film?
We're just going to stay up high where we were. Actually, the audience score is the exact same, 95%. The first movie had a 95. This one had a 95. But the critic score actually went up 4% to 95. So this has a double 95.
That's rare.
It's rare for the audience to stay in the same exact spot and the critics to go up. Usually they either both go up or one goes down and one goes up, but this one stayed the same and then went up. So, I mean, again, not that surprising.
Well, this one is a beloved one. I think if you ask people which is their favorite from the three, most or a lot will say Two Towers because of the Battle of Helm's Deep. But there are other people that says Return of the King, and then you like Fellowship of the group. So, yeah, it's very interesting. All right, let's start it all off. Scott, you started off with lead character.
Lead characters. All right. So we get the same great characters that we got from the last movie, but now we get even more great characters. We get Theoden. We get your boy Carl Urban, the Riders of Rohan. We get Gandalf back, and now he's upgraded, and he's the white now, and he's got that nice staff and he's throwing spells off of Theoden. He's like, back up, bitch. Get out of here. You know? So yeah, it was great. And you just keep getting more great characters that are perfectly cast. So it's a 5 for me.
Oh, all right.
All right. I want to send out a preface to all the people listening at home. please understand that I love movies and I love you, okay? Don't get mad at me at anything I say. This is just my personal opinion. Thank you for listening. Okay, characters, I gave a 5. I'm prefacing this for later, but I gave them a 5. I agree with Scott. We get the same people back. And also, what was that girl's name? The blonde one. Eowyn?
Erwin.
Erwin.
Yeah,
something like that.
Eowyn, yeah. She's cool. She got big, hot crush on my man Aragorn, and she gave him that nasty soup. And he was like, "You can't cook, woman. I love it. I love it."
It's good.
She started pouring it out. She said, "Is it good?" He's like, "It's good." So, you know, she got a big old crush on him. And then we get all our same people. Now they're all scattered. So this reminded me of when we did Star Trek Beyond the other week. How, you know, they moved everyone apart. So like the story's jumping around to all the different groups and where they're at. Also, we get Gollum in this as a character. Now your mileage may vary. I don't love that character. And I don't know how beloved I know he's popular because he's, you know, he's very unique looking. And I find him annoying. I don't really like him that much. I think it's incredible the way they did it. You know, and I think Andy Serkis's performance is great, honestly, like the voice. Right. But there's a lot of times where I was like, he's annoying. And then they kind of redeem him in the third act where it starts to be like, okay, you feel for him a bit. I don't love that character, but overall, I give him a 5. I think everyone else is very interesting and all our same people that we had are still great.
All right, Scott, what you want to say anything about Gollum? Because I know you didn't talk about him.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he's in the movie because I don't like him that much.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's something
I'm with Nate. I like he's annoying, you know, watching his scenes and everything. I mean, no offense to with Andy Serkis. Great performance, great character. He's just the annoying character in the movie. So I didn't even mention him because there's so much other good stuff in this movie.
No. I mean, look, in terms of Gollum, I thought he was okay. I do see what you mean with the annoying, because there's certain parts he's just like, oh my God, I would have killed him already, but it is what it is with the storyline. But I like the scenes when he's beating the fish. that was funny. You know, seeing that they turned on him, and I thought that was pretty cool. I always love the scenes that he talks to himself, but it looks like two different characters.
I like the way they filmed that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, I thought that was cool. All right, in terms of the lead character, you guys said everything. I'm giving it a 5. And we got Faramir also, the brother of Boromir. Remember that?
The one-eyed guy from 300.
Yeah. So he was here too, and I thought that was pretty cool. Other than that, I mean, you guys said everything. Aragorn, I mean, he's dope in this movie. I mean, he's dope. I think he's honestly my favorite character of the three films is Aragorn. Let me just tell you about Gandalf for a second. Last week, I said Gandalf was a piece of shit because all he did was flash lights. My man did the same shit even in a powerful version. All he did was flash lights. He was like, look to me, 5 o'clock in the morning. I will brighten their lives. Or what a stupid shit. And I was like, what is he talking? And then you see him on top of the hill and I'm like, oh shit, he's about to come down with some like a thunder lightning spell. And he's riding mad hard and all of a sudden his fucking light gets brighter. And I was like, that's all you do? And the orcs are like, ah! He has to coming through. I said, my man Gandalf is the wackest wizard. And I will say this, and I'm going to keep saying it. He sucks as a wizard. I will not want him to back me up in any battle. I'd rather have Dumbledore at this point.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like the wizards in this universe, like they don't do magic powers other than like, they like control your mind and shine lights and they're smart and they're wise, I guess. But like they don't be shooting out spells or like launching lightning bolts or nothing. Neither of them. Even Saruman. Like, you know, he spins him around. He makes him do the spin-a-rooney in the first movie.
It's a spin-a-rooney.
And then he puts him on the roof and that's it. Where's all the like, maybe that's just how the book is written. Like they don't have like those kind of powers. But I agree. Like give me something like Merlin crap where they like can control something. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I guess, I think you're right. I think the fact is like, I think I'm comparing his wizardry to like other wizards that we know. Like Dumbledore would have had a flaming dragon.
Yeah.
Come out of the blue and
Voldemort
and destroy.
Shoot the red beams.
That's true.
Something.
Yeah.
Not Gandalf. He's just a living
Gandalf flashback. Is white. Gandalf the white stinks and gray. But you know, it is what it is. But all right, main villain. Now, I don't know where you want to go because I'm gonna be honest with you. This one had no main villains. This two had the 1,000 orcs.
Yes.
Okay. And like two 10, scenes. 10, yeah, 10 million. And then two scenes of Saruman in the thing looking over when the trees are destroying.
And Brad Dorif being like a creepy.
Wormtongue. Yeah.
Grima.
Yeah. So whoever you guys want to go, I'll follow suit. Danny.
I agree with you. We talked about the first movie and we're like, you know, the villains aren't that prevalent. They're not a main. They're even less in this movie. And I found that surprising. Now, I will say, I have not seen this movie in like 20 years. I never rewatch it. This is my first time watching the extended edition. So I don't remember. I remember like the Helm's Deep battle. And there was like bits and pieces I remembered as I was watching it. But I don't rewatch this. I was expecting more knowing that there's this big battle. And really, all you get is those orcs and the whatever their names are. The something Kai or whatever. I don't know.
On the Mortal Kai.
Yeah, whatever that crap is. Yeah, then, Mortal Kai. But even like in the last movie, like in the first movie where you had that one guy who was like the main one who you're like, there's not that in this. There's just a group of them. They have the two little hobbits. They fight. They want to eat them. And then you get a million faceless just beings in the battle. Saruman gets like, does nothing. He gets knocked out of this guy's body and goes flying across the room. And then Brad Dorif is like, he looks cool, but he's just like, I gave it a 3. And the only reason I gave it a 3 is because there's a million of those guys during that battle. And they do a lot of damage. Like they blow up that wall. They kill a lot of people. If that didn't happen in this movie, it would have been like a 2, but I gave it a 3.
Oof. All right, Scott.
All right. Well, for me, I'm going to give it just one more point. I'm going to give it a 4. Now, the reason I gave it a 4 is, yes, Saruman doesn't do shit. And we don't hear anything from the Eye of Sauron at all in this movie. He's just hanging out over there in the Watchtower. So, but the reason I do is because he built 10,000 of these things to be like, we're just going to fuck up Rohan. We're going to take it all. And they're going to go to Helm's Deep and just massacre these people. I mean, they give him a hell of a fight. Like, you know, they're at the end right there and they're just like, we're going to die. Like, let's just ride out to him and just go out in the blaze of glory. I mean, they brought him to their knees. They thought they were all done and everybody was going to die. So that's why I gave him a 4, because they did almost just kill everyone, but they didn't succeed. And that's all from, you know, Saruman, but he sat on his ass the entire battle and had like 2 seats. And that's it. So he's not a 5, but, you know, I think it was good enough for a 4 for sending 10,000 of them to try and massacre the people. So, yeah, that's 4 fair. For me.
All right. Well, you know what? I think I'm going to get the hate train also. Ooh. Because this movie had no damn villains, man. I was watching this and I'm like, wait a minute, what is going on here? Besides the orcs destroying the wood, the forests and all that crap, honestly, there is nothing besides Helm's Deep at all. And I agree with Scott. I mean, they did bring him to the knees, but the only thing that Gandalf the White did, he predicted what time he's going to show up and let everyone else do the dirty work, and he just comes in.
He's like, a lot less of them.
Yeah, he was like, you know what? You guys do the work. I'll be there at 5 in the morning. Just look to the east. And then I'll show up and then beat some ass. And that's what pretty much happened. And honestly, I agree. I think Saruman should have been in the fight. Whether he would have fought or not, he should have been in the back in the horse. Like, chilling in the horse. And then when you see Gandalf coming from the east, he should have been like, oh, damn. Like, then he could roll, you know, go away or whatever. But we didn't get that. We got a Nazgul when Frodo's about to put the ring and he saw that dope scene with the thing flapping in front. I don't care. That scene looked dope. That shit flapping in front of him. I was like, that is a pretty cool cinematic like looking view there. Other than that, that's pretty much, I agree. I gave it a 3. I thought it was good, but this movie was not built for villains. I'm going to be honest with you. This is an action picture number 2.
I'm starting to think this franchise is not
built. It's a story. Yeah.
It focuses a lot more on the heroes, and which is you're supposed to. But these villains are not, to me, let's say I'm new and I'm like, I've never seen Lord of the Rings, like I'm 20 years old. I wasn't around when they came out. I'm just watching them for the first time. I can't say that if I sat through these first two that any of them are memorable. I really can't. I know them because I've seen them multiple times. But like Saruman, are you gonna be like, this is one of the greatest screen villains that, you know, and Sauron, the the main one, he's in the first movie for 3 minutes and gets his fingers chopped off and he's an eyeball. So it's like, you know, like, I'm not saying they're bad, but maybe they translate better in written than in movie. It's possible. Again, I don't know, but just so far, if this is my first time watching these, this is not villain movies at all.
Well, you know, it's funny. The only person here that read the books is the guy next to us.
Scoop.
And is the book very heavy like this, or is it more battles?
The book has a lot of, I would say, extra things in it that are not in the movies. Like the story, like when I said in the last episode that the story was just like so well written to screenplay, it's because they chopped out a lot of stuff and just made it flow better. Mm. But yeah, you get a lot of, I would say the book is more story because you get a lot of extra characters. Like there's a whole character that you're missing from the Fellowship of the Ring, some Bombadil or something like that, that the hobbits run into, and he's some magical being or something like that. So like, it's not, you know, there's not very much about the villains. It's kind of the same. So
yeah, because I think something like, and I'm not making this a direct comparison, but you think of something like Game of Thrones, let's say, which is also fantasy, you know, but they spend almost as much time with the good guys as the bad guys. Whereas here, it's like 90-10. As far as 90% with the heroes, 10% you even get with any of the villain characters. So I know nothing about them. Like, there's no development for the villains the same way, which is fine, which is why we give the leads a 5 every time and the villains are kind of mixed.
Yeah. All right. 3, 3, 4. Okay. Action scenes. Got
to tell you something. Okay. I'm watching this movie and I see, you know, we get the scene with Merry and Pippin where they get freed because the Riders of Rohan come through. I'm like, okay, that's a 4. And then we get the scene where they're traveling and they got those orcs on the wild dog things and they're fighting them. I'm like, okay, that's a 4. And then all of a sudden we get to Helm's Deep and there's 10,000 Uruk-hai sitting there and they all look like a bunch of jacked little cane hotters just sitting there roaring and shit like that. You know, you got the one on the rock, his thigh is as big as my head and he's just, and I was like, 5! Yeah, I mean, it's a 5, man. That battle at the end, it's an hour long, and the extended edition, I definitely know, like, when you see people's heads get chopped off and the black blood squirts out, that's all extended. Mm. You got Legolas throwing the shield down the stairs, and he's, as he goes down, and then he just chops that fucking shield right into one of them. Oh, it gets me so pumped up every time I see that battle, and then there's just so many of them, and freaking Aragorn, you know, once he sees his homeboy die, he takes the ladder and he dives over and I'm just like, bite him in the nose. Like, I'm so pumped up. Yeah, it's a 5 for me. I'm going to shut up now. You guys take it away.
Oh, I mean, who can follow that? Who can follow that? I agree. I will say the first disc, I popped in this first disc and I'm watching this movie and I'm like, damn, ain't no action in this movie. It's a lot of walking in this movie. Like a lot of walking. And there's little spurts. Like you said, you get the little, you know, that little fight in the nighttime and then those guys come in. But even that's like very short. You don't really see much. Then you get the dog part. That was cool. But the Helm's Deep, that alone, I agree, it's worth a 5. It's really long. It's very well choreographed. It looks great. I love old school, like medieval type war. The big tree, the battering ram that they knock down the door, and the freaking guy that's like a suicide bomber who runs into the hole and blows up the wall. Oh. Yeah, I loved all that. I think it's so well executed. Legolas on the shield surfboard, sick. Yeah, I agree. That saves it into a 5 for sure. So I gave it a 5 as well.
I will say this, Nate, I agree with you. Disc one, I said, am I watching? When the shit started and he was like, they're going to the northeast and whatever, and I'm like, all right, cool. 30 minutes later, I'm like, where are you guys at? I was just like, they picked up the fucking leaf. I was just like, what? The stupid leaf, they picked it up, and he's like, they went this way. And Gimli's like, I'm tired already and all this. And I'm like, damn, they didn't get to fight nobody yet. Then, look, I don't know what you guys feel about Frodo and Sam. Those fucking characters are annoying. Yo, I swear, I want to punch Frodo. Like, I think Elijah Wood, if I ever meet him, I might have to stay away from him because I just want to punch him for Frodo. Like, I just don't like Frodo, bro. Like, he does stupid decisions. Frodo's the weakest character,
even though he's the, like, guy with the ring. Yeah. All he ever does is look concerned and think about putting it on and then goes like,
That dude was in the marsh and he just fell like face first in the water.
Yeah. He just died.
Well, the sad thing is that Gollum told his ass, don't look in the water, don't look at the light. And the first thing he does is look at the water. He looks at the light. He goes in the water. Yeah. But I just don't like those characters. But yeah, the fight, Helm's Deep is the best of this movie. I mean, hands down. Legolas is the best part, but I think the best part of this film for me is Legolas and Gimli counting how many they killed.
I think it's the best
part of the whole movie.
I like that.
He's like, I have 17. And he's like, I'm at 42. Hey, he's like, you cheated. And I loved when he's like, he's sitting down smoking a pipe and he's like, I had 43. And then he shot him. And he's like, he twitched. Doesn't count. My axe is on him.
My axe is embedded in his nervous system.
Yeah, I started that joke fun. Earlier with the dog where he's like going to hit the dog with the axe and Legolas kills it. And he's like, that one was mine. Like that counts for me. You know, I didn't need your help.
That only counts as one.
Yeah. So you can see like they have like this friendship between the two. Mm-hmm. Then you got the other scene that he tells Aragorn to throw him and he was like, please don't tell nobody that you threw me.
Yeah.
He goes, you have my word. And he just picked one hand and went, I was like, how light is this guy? Like he literally picked him up one hand and it flung his ass. But yeah, like you have a lot of moments in the battle and even the anticipation of them fighting the orc. I mean, you felt that. Like even when you see them standing there and they just like, and you see the smoke coming out of their fucking mouth. I was like, oh my God, this is cool. And then you see the old guy, he's like, and he lets go and shoots
the one-eyed dude.
That shit kills me. He shot the orc and they all looked at him and he just went, bah. And they went, ah! That shit is so dope. Yeah, I thought that whole anticipation, because it was literally like a 5 minute anticipation. Because then it was the rain started, and I was like, damn,
was so good.
Yeah, and then it was over. Then, like you said, the guy with the big chicken drumstick thighs was just like, oh!
Yeah, he's on the road.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a 5 across the board. Okay.
Okay.
Storyline. I already know what name.
Here we go.
Prefix, Nate.
This is where it goes. This is where everybody gets mad at me. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. This is my first time watching the extended edition. This will be my last time watching the extended edition. I got no value from this extended edition. Outside of some blood squirting out of some chopped off heads, I don't think it flows as good as what I remember the theatrical being. 44 minutes is a lot to add to a movie. And for it to be a lot of like more walking and talking, I was bored. I was honestly bored. Most of the first disc, I was bored. I was not super into it. I think The Fellowship is a way better storyline than this movie because you're meeting the characters, you're getting to know them, they're beginning this journey. They're going to a lot of different places. Here, they're all in the woods or in a mountain, like pretty much. You know what I mean? I'm sure this is one of those book things. I think this, for book readers, was probably great because you're getting more stuff you read. I didn't read it. I hate the tree parts with, what's their name? Merry and Pippin, and they're with the trees. Talking with the trees. I don't care. I honestly don't care. I don't think it was that interesting. I don't care about these old trees. They talk so, like, literally, if you take all those scenes and put them together, it's like 40 minutes of nothing, of them hanging out with these trees, and then the trees see that they burned them down, and then they go and bury the other thing underwater. I'm like, this was a little payoff for a lot of screen time for some stupid trees. So I don't love that. The whole, like, I don't know. I think it drags too much. I would rather have watched the regular edition. So I'm scoring the extended edition. I gave the story a 3. I think it's tighter in the theatrical, and I think that's the better version for me. So this version, I will give a 3.
Uh-huh. Scott?
We're gonna agree to disagree here, Nate. Now, I like the extended edition a lot. It's the only edition I've ever watched. When I watched The Fellowship the last time accidentally on the theatrical, that's the first time I watched that in like 20 years. So, but the thing about the extended edition is there's some important scenes that you don't get in the theatrical. Like one of the biggest ones is we get to see Faramir because he becomes a bigger part of the story later on. And you get to see how messed up his dad was and always being like, oh, you can't do this. Boromir can do this. You suck. You stay here and all that stuff. And then you get to see like basically, and then the trees, I know they're boring, but it's just kind of saying like the state of Middle Earth, basically. Like Sauron has put everything to sleep. The trees priest used to hang out and talk and stuff, and now they're like, we can't even get laid. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, it was a five for me. I'm just more of a fan of the whole franchise. So yeah.
That's fair.
I'm sorry.
You have to speak your truth.
I'm gonna be. That first disc is a boring ass disc. I agree with it. It was drag, bro. When it got to those trees, I said they got to take these trees off, bro. I couldn't take the trees. Oh, little hobbit. Oh, he's like, and then the scene that really dragged for me, and I got annoyed, was the scene that he was like, they went there from daytime to nighttime just to say that they were gonna they agree with the fight, like some stupid shit like that. And I was just that was
no. He says, we agree, you're not orcs. I'm like, I waited 3 hours for them to figure that out. Like,
dude, that was literally, no lie, 20 minutes of footage of that. And I was just like, oh my God. And then, you know, Mary's like, oh, turn back and let's go north or east. And I was like, no, he's, oh God, now we're going to see these assholes. He's like, oh, little hobbits. And I was just like, I didn't like that. I was like, no.
He fell asleep while they were talking to him.
I felt kind of like that. Like, I was on the, I was with them on that journey. I don't like Frodo and Sam's storyline in this movie. I'm sorry. I know they're carrying the ring. There's certain points with Smeagol that I just felt bored. I was just like, what the hell are we doing? Like, why don't we just get to whatever? Like, it's already done, but I wanted Smeagol to take him through other places so danger lurks. Like, his sword turns blue or something. We didn't get none of that. He was just like, yes, master. You know, we go here, and then Faramir takes them, which I felt like that was way too long for me. There was no, what was the reward there? Oh, my father's going to have the ring. Okay, great. Because you're going to let him go anyway. So I was just like, what was the point? Like, I didn't, like, Sam waited all the way to the fucking point. Like, that's the shit that annoys me. He took them to Faramir's whatever place that was. All Sam had to say was, your brother died because he got corrupted by the ring. He could have said that shit where they got caught and they could have continued going. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like the reward there was not, to me, it wasn't whatever. But anyway, yeah. I mean, the Battle of Helm's Deep was great. And then it ends like,
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. How about that there's a freaking 10-minute long scene of Merry and Pippin in the water looking at food and looking at buckets of food at the end. I watched it on 1.5 speed because I was like, I literally couldn't care less what they're talking about right now. So I sped on I put on 1.5 with volume, but I was just like, it was like, because I was like, I don't care.
And it wasn't even food. It was the smoking pipe. It was the good one.
Oh, yeah.
Tobacco. That's right.
Well, yeah, well, first tobacco. They find the apple and then and I was just like, fast forward this. I really don't care. That, and then the fact that, like, I forgot they were with the trees because there's too many scenes with them, and then it goes a good like hour and they never show them, and then all of a sudden it cuts back and the tree is walking with the, I'm like, oh no, we're back with the trees. I forgot about the trees, dude. I thought we were done with
them. I will say this, man. I'm gonna give it a 3 for good, but honestly, if you take out the tree scenes, I think I would have been like, yo, this movie's dope.
I would have liked it better. Anytime they were with Aragorn or with the king, I liked all that stuff. Yeah. Anytime they left that, I was immediately like,
yeah, I was turned off. I was like, oh, this dude Frodo again. Like, oh, like, I couldn't take it. I know it's about Frodo and the stupid ring, but I'm just like, this movie, Frodo's written really, to me, was horrible. Like, I didn't want to see this dude on screen. I was just like, let's just get to the good guys. To Aragorn. Like, they should have like Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, Aragorn's Trail. And I would have been like, oh.
Aragorn's Trail.
Yeah, Aragorn's Trail. I would have been like, let's do this. But what are you guys saying, Scott?
No. I was going to say, I fully understand both of you. Like, I mean, that shit's boring even to me. I'm such a fan of the whole franchise that the good stuff outweighs the little boring parts with the trees and everything like that. I don't know. I've always watched these movies on extended since I was a kid. So,
but that's okay. Like, that's the whole point of the fandom. Like, some people will love the boring parts and some people just freaking hate it, but love every other fluff that there is in the movie.
I mean, people who hate these movies. Like, they're just like, they're too boring. They're just walking. And I'm like, I can't argue with you. I understand.
I have friends that don't want to watch the extended cut. They're like, I'd rather just see the theatrical. Like, I don't care.
I'm now dreading watching that last one in extended because of this.
Well, that one has more action from what I remember.
Yeah, it does. There's a lot more really battles long. Spread it's out.
Like 4 hours, legit plus. So
yeah, I think that one is straight action. From what I remember in the theater, it was, well, I didn't see
that one. Action, that one's a lot more interesting total, basically, is what I remember of it.
Oh, okay.
I'm still right. Dreading it.
Two threes, 1-4. All right, overall,
no, five.
Scott. Gave it a five. Oh, you gave it a five. Sorry, you gave it a five. All right, Scott, overall.
overall, y'all already know it's coming.
Mm-hmm. A five.
yeah, I gave it a five. I love these movies. I love this franchise. There's people out there that are fans of, you know, big fans of Harry Potter, like Alex. I like Harry Potter, but my shit, you know, like Gwen Stefani says, this my shit. You know, that's Lord of the Rings for me. So it's a five.
That's
good. Look, I totally get it. I love the Harry Potters, but I think the difference between Harry Potters and this one, I know it's two different, but they fall in the same
3 hours.
No, but they both the same like fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My only thing is with Harry Potter, it was enjoyable watching the journey. Like, I wasn't bored with Harry. Like, Harry was just so interesting how they wrote him. Frodo's not interesting. Like, the fucking guy, they tell him, don't do this. He does it on purpose to irk me. Like, I feel like I'm going to irk Alex right now. I'm going to put the ring on. How many times they say don't put the ring on in the first movie? He had it like three times.
How many times does he tell himself? No, I can't put this on because the eye's going to see me. And then he's going. like I'm like, what? You literally just said, don't do that. I agree. I don't think Frodo's a, I love the characters, but I think I don't think Frodo is an interesting character. Like,
yeah.
He's just the bearer of the ring who has to deal with the pressure, and he's not exciting at all. I like Sam better. I think Sam's okay.
Sam is cool.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Nate, you go.
Oh, I gave it a four. I think it's good. I'm surprised. I thought I was going to like this one better from what I remember. But again, I never saw this version of it. And I think, you know, if I watch the regular cut, would it be a five? I don't know. Possibly. The extended, for me, it's not. There's not. I'll never watch this version again. I can tell you right now. A lot of that stuff that Scott liked with like the background and the with the dad and the. I don't care. I honestly was not invested in the same way. You know, I thought it was. But here's where I can give it more points, though, because again, I think the score in this movie is fantastic. The visuals are great. Beautifully shot. Well acted. Great cast. I did like some of the new characters quite a bit. So there's things that I did like. And I think it's a great movie. I don't think it's a perfect film for like within its genre. I still like Fellowship better. So, and I gave that one a five. This one for me is a four.
All right. Well, I gave it a four also. I agree with you on everything you said. I love the score in this movie. It's a dope score. I think this one has to be the best score out of the three. That's just me. Because one that Battle of Helm's Deep score is like ridiculous. It's really good. I agree. I like the orcs when they're assembling. I think those scenes are really good put together. I mean, look, I'm really amazed. Like, now that we did the research, I'm really amazed seeing that this shit cost $94 million a piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it is really well told. And this one was really fantastic. I think it's very well done. Now, in terms of me rewatching the extended cut, I cannot sit through this shit again. I can't sit through the trees. I could see the Fellowship of the Ring. That one was very well.
I feel like that one moved. That one was fun.
Yeah, it did. I was really into it with, you know, with Liv Tyler with the horses chasing each other. Like, that was all cool. This one had more extended talking trees and I couldn't take it. I was like, no. Get rid of those tree talking. So, but that said, total points, guys. Go ahead, Scott. What's your total point?
24 out of a 25.
Ooh, nice. All right, Nate?
I mean, I still have it at a 20. So, you know, it's still a top tier film. 20 out of 25.
Yeah, I got a 20 also out of a 25. Look, Two Towers, I just think the first one is a little bit better in the extended version, but Two Towers so far has the best action between the two.
Why is this called the Two Towers? What's the...
Because of Saruman's Tower and then Sauron's Eye Tower.
But they barely even factor into this movie. Like, why did they choose that? It just should have been called Lord of the Rings, the 15 Trees. That
would have been Lord of the Rings. Oh, it should have been called... Ass.
Or the Battle of Helm's Deep or something.
Yeah, like, that should have been the best title.
Those towers don't even factor into the story in this one that much. It's weird.
The Lord of the Rings, the one with the big ass battle at the end.
Yeah.
Anything
should have been. I agree with you, Nate. It should have been called Lord of the Rings, the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Yeah.
That sounds really dope. That makes me want to buy tickets right now.
Like Fellowship of the Ring is distinctly about them forming the Fellowship and all that. The Return of the King, from what I remember, is distinctly about, you know, like with Aragorn and all that crap.
Yeah.
What the heck? The towers didn't even do anything in this. They show them. I don't know. Whatever.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Scott, because since you read the books, and maybe you could clarify before we wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck happens to Saruman when all the trees are banging on the tower? Do they go in and beat his ass, or they bring it down?
So Saruman and Wormtongue, nothing like what happens to them in the movies happens to them in the book. I do know, like, you know, the Helm's Deep battles won, all that stuff. It's been a while since I've read the book. I do specifically remember. So at the end of Return of the King, Frodo, Sam, Merry, and Pippin, they return back to the Shire, and Wormtongue and Saruman are there and they've enslaved all the hobbits.
What?
So, yeah, it's fucking crazy. So they enslave all the hobbits and it's up to Sam and the four of them. They basically lead a revolt and take back over the Shire and kick Saruman's ass out and kill him and Wormtongue. Yeah. Interesting. Nothing like what they do in the movies.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting. All right. Oh, that's it, Nate. What is coming up next?
All right. So next, we are starting a brand new month. You know, it's April. We got a new month. We finished with Jean-Claude Van Damme and we're moving on to another big movie star, Mr. Mel Gibson. We're doing a little movie called Get the Gringo to kick it off. So that's going to be the first in Mel Gibson month. And then we wrap up. Well, we wrap up the Lord of the Rings trilogy with next week with Return of the King. We will be doing the extended edition again. So get ready.
He sounds hurt.
I'm going to start watching it today. That way I'm finished by the time we record. And yeah, we're doing Return of the King. So, and we will have a guest for that one as well. One of our other interns. That's all I'll say.
All right. Well, thank you, Scott, for sitting down on this episode.
Thank you for having me.
All right. With that said, you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts. Please follow Nate over on Instagram and Netflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Netflix Movie Reviews. Nate goes live every other Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern on his Instagram page at Netflix Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to Instagram at Geeks and Flicks or our official website, www.geeksandflicks.com. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.